praise the Lord for that. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yeah. Just walk with me. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Glad the Lord can do that. He can walk through with us and keep us right on track, can't he? Amen. Well, we've been going on our Sunday evening series here with the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, if you want to turn there with us, chapter number 4. We've been looking at the idea that Paul gave to us, and we've been talking about the things in chapter number 4. And there's several mention of things, and we've seen them. So let's read again, if you will, in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 4. Paul says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for these words, and thank you for your direction, your love, and thank you, Lord, just for being our God and taking the great care that you do of us, and we love you for that. And I pray now you just add to everything that we say this evening with your hand. Just get these words and make them your words. Get this mouth and make it your mouth. And the things that we encourage and say and provoke saints with, I pray they'd be right from you now. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you again for just bringing us to this place and this time and this worship hour. Bless us now as we do that and save that one that's lost. And we'll thank you again in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, as I say, we've looked at the different things, if you will. You know, Paul talks about being careful for no thing or nothing. And he says, pray about everything. And then he said, there's some things, these things, think on these things. And then he said, those things that you've heard and you've learned and received and seen and all that, do those things, okay? And that's the idea behind the things, if you will. But there's one last thing, and it's in verse number 13 where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? And that ought to be a great encouragement to every one of us as Christians because, let me just tell you, this is what Paul tells us, and that's what I'm preaching on. The only way to do it all. The only way to do it all. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And, you know, when you begin to look at that, when you begin to look at that little fact and that little phrase, I think sometimes we take it out of context, okay? We remove it from a context of, well, just anything that I want to do, I can do it through the Lord. Well, I mean, in one sense, I think that's true, but I think you and I've got to look at the entirety of the context that Paul is talking about. I mean, can Paul move a 50-ton boulder? You say, well, that Bible right there says he can, by the strength of the Lord. Well, Okay, but I don't think that that's of any benefit. But what I'm saying is this. I think those things that he's talking about, all these things that he can do, I believe it's the things that he mentions, the things that he's mentioning here, and the things that he's doing for the Lord, he's doing it through the Lord. And I believe that's the idea that you and I have got to come to understand, is that these are the things that Paul is mentioning. So let's look at this tonight. And like I say, the only way that you can do it all, let's look at this and break it down just a little bit. As a matter of fact, I mean, we're going to go back and take in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. And look back with me, if you will. Let's just read them again real quickly. Paul said in verse number 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Paul is saying this, look, at this time I am thankful that there's been a revival, if you will, a reviving in your hearts and in your spirits to try to do, to take care of me. In other words, to provide something for me, to do something for me. Paul said, I've noticed that you have a renewed care of me. And that's a great thing. I believe, you know, sometimes you and I might need that little personal revival where we have some care about the things of God, the people of God, the house of God, the Word of God. Whatever it is, you need a little revival and begin to develop some renewed care in those areas. You need to care. You need to have a desire to want to do some things. Paul said, I know in time past that you've cared. You know, sometimes we do care about folks and we do care about situations and problems and all that. But sometimes there is nothing that you and I can do, okay? And that's what he's saying. He said, I know wherein you were also careful. You cared before, but you didn't have the opportunity. You were not able in some way, for some reason. You wasn't able to do what maybe you even thought you wanted to do. You ever been like that? You know, I would give them, preacher, enough money to pay off their house for these folks that's got this problem, whatever it is, but I just don't have it. Well, okay, you care, but you don't really have the funds or the ability. And you know, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Or you care about somebody and you say, but they're in a distant place and I can't get over there to help them. Okay, again, you care. But Paul said, you've cared for me, but you just didn't have the chance or the opportunity to do anything. He said, but now your care's flourished again. It, as I say, has revived. It's come back. And now you are able to do something. He said, but I want y'all to know something. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. Look, here's a real key part in this whole thing. He said, for I have learned. I have learned. And I want you to look at that tonight with me. And let's just talk about Paul and his learning. Let's talk about Paul and his learning. First of all, look at this with me. Paul has learned how to leave some things. There's some things you just got to leave. You just got to leave it to the Lord. Amen? You got to learn how to leave something. Listen to what he said. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I mean, Paul says, I've had to learn some things. Can I tell you something? Hey, I'm 70 years old, and I've learned a few things finally. And you know, Lord willing, there'll be a few more days, and I'll learn some more. But that's part of life, is you learn some things as you go. Amen? Man, I think Brother Larry was talking about this earlier today, maybe, where he talked about, you know, where the Scripture talks about that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Well, that's that process. You go through some tribulations and some trying times in your life, and it brings you to that place of patience. And then that patience gives you some experiences that you have in life. And that experience, when you see what God's done through your life, and you develop a brand new sense of hope and say, hey, I've been here before, I'm here now, and I know God can take care of whatever situation it is. And I think that's, you know, an idea of what Paul is saying. Paul said, I've learned how to leave some things and not have to worry about it. First of all, I believe Paul can say this. I've learned how to leave the circumstances of life. I've learned how to leave behind some of the circumstances of life. He said, look, y'all, I've done without. I've had problems. I've been in jails. I've been beaten. I've been injured. I've been left for dead. I've been attacked. I've been all of these things that I've tried to do in my ministry. But you know what? I've just left all my circumstances. I've just left that in the hands of the Lord. You know, there's nothing you can do about those certain circumstances. Sometimes you can't do anything about the circumstances. You're just there. And you know how we are as people? Oh, I want to change. I want this to be different. And we get all tore up sometimes, and we get all beside ourselves because of our circumstance. But you know what Paul says here? Paul says, look, I'm just going to bear up under my circumstances, and I'm going to let the Lord handle my circumstances, and I'm just going to leave those things in the hands of the Lord. He said, I want y'all to know something. He said, I am not talking to you in poor mouth. Not that I speak in respect of want. I don't get this, because most of us are not this way. Paul says, I don't want anything from you. I mean, that's really what he's saying. I'm not wanting anything from y'all. Amen? You know, I've heard preachers that do this. You know, preacher be out here running around somewhere and about the tires on his car about bald, and he'd go up to some guy that owns a tire store, look at him and say, brother, would you help me pray about getting some new tires for my car? Well, just go ahead and drop a hint. Amen. I mean, you know, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, listen, I just believe God's big enough. I believe God has enough. I believe God is enough that He can take care of our circumstances, whatever they may be. And you and I sometimes, we just have to be like Paul. Paul said, look, I want y'all to know. He said, I'm not speaking like I want anything. He said, because I've learned that wherever I am, I'm as happy as I can be. Amen? I'm content with my situation. He said, I've learned about the circumstances. He said, I've learned about contentment in this life. Isn't it amazing? He said, I realize that life doesn't lie in the stuff. Amen. Y'all remember what I said this morning about, you know, everybody's wanting the latest and the greatest? Well, I mean, here it is. I'm going to tell you, that ain't no iPhone 17 right there. Amen. It's a whole lot less numbers than that. It ain't even double digits. Hallelujah. Ain't that good? But I'm just telling you, hey, that's it. I've seen them. You probably have too. All the little commercials, and they show all of the, oh, here it is. It's got a better camera, and it's bigger this and more that, and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? People say, man, I got to have that. Oh, I just can't live. Oh, I'm moving up tomorrow. I've seen times, and you have too, where they go line up before the place is even open to get in line to get the newest, the latest, and the greatest. And isn't that crazy? I mean, I got to have it. Why? I mean, look, you know, the old one works pretty good. It's still functioning. It's all right. Amen? I mean, hey, there's some of you probably driving an automobile, and it may have years on it. It may have miles on it. And guess what? It's still working just fine. It's getting you from A to B. Amen? I'm just telling you, we got to learn sometimes how to have some contentment in the things we get. That this life is not about the stuff that we get or the gains that we have. We think we've got, you know, here over the last, I don't know, just a little bit with all of the political turmoil and all that. Hey, everybody, I get up in the morning, I'm going to watch my portfolio. I'm going to watch my stocks. I'm going to watch, you know, oh, it went down. Oh, what am I going to do? Jump off a cliff. You know, just take a deep breath and hang on. Amen. Can I tell you, my Bible and your Bible still says, God said, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen? Paul said, I want you to know something. I have found out, no matter whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Amen? Some of y'all can't be content in the state of Georgia. Amen? Hey, we just got to learn how to be content with that. Amen? Well, I started to say something about the football game yesterday, but okay, Roll Tide or something like that. Anyway, Paul has learned to leave you know, the circumstances in the Lord's hand, the contentment. He's learned how to do it. And he's learned how to focus on the core issues of life. The core issues of life. He said, I want y'all to know, whatever the circumstance, whatever the surrounding, whatever's going on with me, that's not at the core of my life. If you see that very last thing that he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, he's saying this, the core issue, the core purpose, the core thing in my life is the Lord Jesus himself. That's the very middle of everything that we do. And I know I've told y'all this probably a million times, but that's why this pulpit's up here in the middle of the church. Because this is the essential. This is the center. It's not the preacher. It's not who stands behind this. But it's the desk itself, the pulpit, the Word of God. I mean, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the resurrection, the preaching of an eternal life through an ever-loving Savior. That's the most important thing there is. Amen? We've got to see what's right at the middle of everything that you and I are about. So Paul said, I've learned how to leave some things behind. I've learned how to do that. And I tell you, I think it'd be valuable for me and you to learn that. But not only that, I want you to see, Paul has learned some lessons of some of these things in life. First of all, again, look in verse number 12. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Boy, I don't get that, do you? I mean, Paul says it's a matter, again, of our contentment. It's a matter of contentment, again. He said, and I've learned some lessons. As I go through life, there's some lessons that it goes like this. You know what? We do so many times. I mean, anytime if you see something, especially something tragic, you know what we want to know or what we think we want to know? Why did this happen to me? Isn't that what we say? Well, why did this come? Why did I lose my job? Why did I lose my family member? Why did I go backwards in my financial place? Why did, you know, and we just go, why? And we keep asking why. We keep asking that no matter why it happened. It didn't. Look, Paul is not questioning the why. Do you see that? He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to have nothing. I know how to live when I ain't got anything. I know how to live when I got everything. He said, everywhere and in all things. I mean, anywhere I am, I got it. I got a way to learn how to be full. And I know how to be hungry. He said, both to abound and to suffer need. I mean, I don't have to know why. God, why don't I have any food in my pantry? I mean, it ain't going to help you, amen, to know why on some of these things. I don't know if some of you saw it today or not, but there was a terroristic act at a church up in Michigan, and some people died, and they set their church on fire, burned it down, and they said they don't know how many people may have died in the upper part of the structure where this person run their car through it, and they planted some kind of explosive device, and it went off, and it burned down everything, burned down, they don't know how, and, well, why? Isn't that the question that we all ask ourselves? We want to know why. But can I tell you, Paul, you will not find him, no matter why it happens. Can I tell you, no matter why, whatever happens in your life, it happened. I mean, there. Sometimes you'll never know the why. Well, preacher, why did my mama have to die? I don't know many times. Amen? Do you realize that is always a valid answer? Why did Job go through the things that he went through? I really don't know. And guess what? Job never found out really why. I mean, you never get the answers to the why. You and I can't see behind the scenes. I don't know everything that God's doing, but I can tell you this. I do know he's doing something, and he's working in my life. And, Mine is not to question why. Mine is but to do or die. That's an old military saying, but it still works for the Christian folks today too. We don't have to know the whys. As a matter of fact, Paul said, it doesn't matter where that it happened. You see what he said? And I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He said, everywhere and in all things. Doesn't matter where it happens. Well, why did this happen over here in Philippi, but it didn't happen over here in Thessalonica, or where, you know, whatever. Why did it go? It seemed to matter where I am. It doesn't matter where you are. You know what I found out? I know a long time ago I was talking to an old preacher, and we were talking about, you know, churches, and he said one time, he said, it was Brother Berman Cape. He said, I'd been there at the church. He said, I've been there for, you know, 20 or 30 years, whatever it was. He said, and I told the Lord, said, Lord, he said, I'm just going to leave. He said, I don't like it. These things ain't going my way. And, you know, this is up and that's down. And, you know, everything was going in a different direction. He said, the Lord looked at me, and I believe the Lord probably talked to him. Like it. He'd say, Now, Berman, he said, why would you want to leave here? He said, you know where the devil is here. He said, if you go somewhere else, you just have to learn him all over again. Amen? Huh? I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, sometimes we think the where makes a difference. If I go over here, it'll be perfect. Let me tell you something. If you hunt in a perfect church, you go over there, you'll mess it up when you walk in the door. Say amen right there. But I'm just telling you, we get to thinking about, oh, if I could move over here, if I lived over in this place, if I moved to another state, or if I was in another country, you know, we get all this stuff going. Can I tell you, your problems, your issues, and the things that God's doing, it doesn't matter whether it's here or there, they're still there. Amen? Doesn't matter where you're physically located, it's still there. No matter where it has, he said it's everywhere. Everywhere. Can I tell you, it don't matter where you are, you still can have trials. You can still have issues. You can still have problems. Doesn't matter. Hey, it'll work over in Tennessee. You move over, you can have trouble there too. Amen. Oh, well, in Georgia, well, it'll be like, move over to Alabama. Amen. You might really have some over. I don't know. I'm just telling you, everywhere that you go, there will be something that you will have to deal with. Paul said, I just know how to do this. He said, I know how to be a base. I know how to abound. He said, everywhere. And again, it doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter why. And a matter of fact, it doesn't matter what. Listen to what he said. He said, in everywhere and in all things. It don't matter what it is. He said, everything that happens, stuff can happen anywhere. It might be different stuff. Might be the same stuff. But wherever you go, whatever it is, it can happen. But do you see what Paul realized the key was? He said it's not the why, it's not the where, it's not the what. He said, but it's that I've learned the lesson of how to deal with it. You see what he said? I know both how. I know how. Amen? And can I tell you, that's what you and I need to learn from our Christian life is we need to know how to handle the things that are coming to us. He said, here's what I've learned. I've learned how. I know now how. He said, and isn't it amazing what he says? He said, I know how to be abased. That means to be humbled. I know how God can humble you. He said, and I know how to abound. I know how to have more than I know what to do with. I know how that is. Amen? I mean, I've been in times, and maybe you have, where you had an excess of, and Paul said, I know how to deal with that. And it almost seems amazing, doesn't it? But then again, listen to what else he says. He said, everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I have been, do you notice that key word there? I've been instructed. And that word means somebody taught him how to deal with those situations. How to deal in those situations and how to deal with those situations. He said, I've been instructed. And really, if you look at that word instructed, It's almost like I've been told a secret. I've been told the secret of how to deal with stuff. Boy, aren't you glad God can get you in some places sometimes. He can pull you off to the side and He can whisper some things in your ear and He can tell you and say, I can help you through. You said, well, I'm doing without. I'm at that place of being abased. I'm humbled. And God said, I can help you through it. And then you're at that place where you got more than you know what to do with. God said, I can help you through with that too. You can learn how to distribute to others. You can learn how to give. You can learn how to be a blessing. And Paul said, I've learned how to do all this stuff. Amen. And you know, that's the way that we ought to be. We ought to have learned those things. So Paul learned how to leave some things. Paul learned the lessons of some things. And Paul, more than anything, has learned to lean on just one thing. And really that one thing is not a thing, it's a person, someone. He says there in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? I mean, Paul realizes what he needs to know, and who he needs to know. He said, there's somebody that I can lean on. Do you know there are some people in this life, sometimes you think you can count on them, but sometimes, sadly, they'll fail you. Even to the very best of intentions, and even to the very best of heart in these people, sometimes they will just absolutely and utterly fail you. I mean, not necessarily maybe even that they want to fail you or that they mean to fail you or that they think that they will fail. Brother, sometimes they just can't help it. They can't go but so far. I mean, there's folks that, man, you think, well, they're my friend or they're my family and, boy, they're going to stay in it. But do you know what? They can let you down. Or they can say, I don't have the answer. I don't have the solution. I don't know what to tell you. I just don't have it. I mean, even some of the brightest, even some of the best, even some of those with the biggest bank account, even some of those with the greatest degree of education, sometimes it comes to play and they say, I just don't have an answer for you. But you know what Paul said? When I come to some times like that, I know who I can lean on. I can do all things. All of these things that I've talked about, Paul said, all of this learning how to be humble, all of this learning how to deal with a bounty, all of that, I can do it all through Christ. I've found the one that I can lean on. Why is that? Well, Paul, first of all, realizes that Jesus Christ is his sufficiency. Jesus is our sufficiency. Do you know what Paul wrote also over in the book of Ephesians? Just flip over our women. You're close. Ephesians, flip back chapter number 3, and you're at the end of chapter number 3 of Ephesians. And Paul says this in verse number 20. Listen to what, this is Paul. And I'm telling you, this is where I think Paul just gets ready to have a little bit one of them preacher moments. He says, now unto him. He's been telling them about, oh, that you be, what he's prayed for them. How did you be grounded and rooted and set in Christ and all that. And in verse number 20, he says, now unto him, listen, that is able. Paul said, I know he's able, but listen to how he's able. He said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Paul said he can do more than you and I can even imagine that he can do. He is our sufficiency. Amen. In another writing, Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? Can I tell you, not a one of us in this room. We're not sufficient. But our sufficiency, Paul said, is of Christ. He's the one that is my sufficiency. He is the one that's your sufficiency. He's the one. Thank God, aren't you glad? He's the one that supplies. I mean, how did that happen? I don't know. Well, it's God, friend. It's just God. I mean, I can't explain it. Hey, here's 5,000 folks sitting on a hillside. Jesus looks over at his disciples and said, feed them.
And they said, Lord, how are we going to feed them? Philip gets out the checkbook and says, well, we got 200 pennies. That's all. And all we can do, the best we can do is buy bread for about 200. And we got 5,000. How's that going to work? And it wasn't just 5,000. It's 5,000 men besides the women and children. That means maybe upwards of 15,000 to 20,000. And Jesus said, well, we'll just feed them. Philip said, we ain't got enough money. Andrew comes in and says, we got this little boy here, but all he's got is these few little loaves of bread and a couple of little fish. What is that among so many? Jesus said, just sit them down and let's feed them. He wasn't asking why. He wasn't asking all of those questions, where and all that. He said, just sit them. We're going to do it. And somehow he reached into that basket of those foods that he had, those five little loaves, those two little fishes, and he kept breaking it, he kept spreading it, he kept giving it, and everybody ate till it's full. Amen? And then what'd they do? They took up 12 baskets of leftovers and didn't even start out with that. How did he do that? I don't know. I can't. The only thing I can tell you is he got. And our sufficiency is found in Him. He's sufficient. He's enough. Lynn sang that song this morning. He's all that I need. Woo, ain't you glad He's all you need? Amen. Because let me tell you this. Many times you'll be like Paul, and he's all you got. I mean, here's Paul chained to a Roman guard, and that couldn't be a pleasant thing to be. You know, they're over there, they ain't caring about it. They'll jerk their arm, they'll jerk your arm, and they sling something around, or they want to slap you, they can do it. I mean, you know, he's not in the best circle. You know, he's sitting over there, and I can do all things through Christ with strength. And you think, you're a knucklehead. Amen? I mean, that's what you're thinking. But Paul realizes, my sufficiency is not in the fact that I'm chained to a Roman soldier. My sufficiency is not in the fact that I've got to have a good lawyer to stand before Nero. He said, my sufficiency is to be found in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? So Paul realizes, he's learned, I can lean on Jesus because He's my sufficiency. But he said, I can lean on Jesus because He's my source of everything. I can do all things through Christ. You know, Paul zeroed in on the absolute fact. He said, now I can do all things. All this stuff, he said, but I don't do it of myself. I'm not doing this through me. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes it gets real easy. I don't care who it is. You know what us preachers do sometimes? Us preachers say, I can make an outline, and I can preach this. I'll be honest with you. There's many times I got this handled. Woo-wee! You want to see some messes? You can make a mess like that. And guess what? I've done it. God, I think I can handle it. I need you. I can handle this. I know how to make an outline. I know how to alliterate the points. And I know how to do all that. You know what you're missing? Him. You can do it. You can do it. But it is absolutely not going to work without Him. You can only do the things you need to do through Him. It's got to be Him. I mean, I ain't never saved a person in my life. Our pastor down in Atlanta, a fellow by the name of Tommy Heron, he said he was out one day and he's, in town and the little town there of Duluth, and he said some guy come up to him and said, hey, preacher, he said, I seen one of your converts the other day down there at the liquor store. What do you think about that? Brother Tommy said, I looked at him and I said, well, he must have been one of my converts, because if the Lord got him, he wouldn't have been down there. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way, if we do it in ourselves and of ourselves, we'll make a mess of it. But when he does it perfectly, he does it completely, and he does it in the right way, in the right fashion. Amen. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. He's our sufficiency. He is our source. He's the only one you've got to go to. Oh, Peter's walking out there on the water. Jesus said, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you when they're walking on the water. And old Peter starts walking on the water. And all of a sudden, what did he do? He began to see everything around him. He said, oh, hey, I'm out here in a mess. And he started to sink. Do you know what he said? Lord, save me. He didn't say, boys, bring the boat over here. I got to get. No. He said, Lord. He realized the only source he had of help was in the Lord. Can I tell you, your only source you've got of any real help and assurance is in the Lord. Amen. I praise God for doctors. I'm thankful. Hey, I'm real thankful for pharmacy. Somebody say amen right there. But, it gave me a livelihood for a long time. I'm thankful for all that stuff. I mean, it's got its use. It's got benefits. And they got some problems, too. But you know, I'm glad we got hospitals. I'm glad, you know, we got all that stuff. But can I tell you, the source of everything I got comes from the Lord. He is our source of health. He is our source of life. He is our source of healing and getting back. It's all through Him. It's not be dependent on other things. So Paul said, he's my sufficiency. He's my source. And of course, Paul says, he is my strength. I can do all things through Christ. And when I do it through Christ, he says, which strengtheneth me. That's how I gain my strength, is through him. Amen. Y'all don't have to go to the gym like I do and work out and eat the right kind of diet. Let me suck that in. Anyway, hey, man, you know, that's what we think. My strength is in it. I'm going to go work out at the gym every day, preacher. Well, I read something the other day, and it said in the last 10 years, over 500 people have died in weightlifting accidents. Only one person's died eating donuts. Amen? I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. I'll stick with the donut. Well, anyway, listen. And little Debbie ain't killed nobody yet that I know of. So. But what I'm telling you is our strength is not in all these things. It's not in all these activities. We think it is sometimes. Oh, I'm going to build myself up, and I'm going to be strong, an Olympic runner, and I'm going to be a weightlifter, and I'm going to be, you can do all that. That's probably good. But you know what Paul said? He said, bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit, but it just profits a little. He said, rather exercise thyself unto what? Godliness. Be exercised in the things of God. Realize that your real strength comes from the Lord. That's the only place you're going to get any strength. You remember what Paul said when he had that thorn in his flesh over there in the book of 2 Corinthians? He's talking about all that he dealt with, and he said, I prayed. I asked the Lord on three different seasons of prayer, remove this thorn out of my flesh. You know what God said? A resounding, nope, not going to do it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what Paul said? He said, I'll rather glory in my infirmity. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How did he get strong? He said, the Lord's strength is seen in me. When, even though I'm weak in my appearance, I'm weak in my body, I'm weak in my strength of myself, but I can be strong in the Lord. Do you realize that's where your strength is? It's not in you. If you want to get out here and run marathons and do all that, bless your heart, go ahead. Amen. If you want to get out here and lift weights and stay in good shape, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't find anything in the world wrong with those things. But I'm telling you this. The best thing we can do is exercise ourselves unto the Word of God, the things of God, the ways of God, the house of God, all of those things of the Lord. That's the best thing you can do. And that way we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You realize where your strength is tonight? Paul said, there's just only one way to do it all. Only one way to do it all. And it's through him. Through him. It's not me. I can strive, I can try, I can push, I can do all of that. And it ain't going nowhere, really. But when I let him be the strength. Oh, can I tell you, it works out so much better. It works out so much better. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this evening. Where's your strength tonight? Your strength in you, your strength in